the church's ongoing support and prayer. And I say a special thank you, too, for those. I mean, you know that I've been in school for the last 3.5 years, nearing the end. And I know that that has not only been a challenge for me, but the leaders here have really stepped up to help during that time. And that has been greatly appreciated as well. And definitely appreciate you as a church family being supportive of Steve and I continuing our education to continue to grow in our effectiveness in serving you as a congregation and serving this community. At this time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. If that may have already happened. But I want to start with a question this morning. I realize, too, as we've been continuing in the series of pursuing intimacy with God, today's message really kind of connects with the message 2 weeks ago about just the discipline of slowing and addressing the busyness and the hurriedness in our life. There's definitely a lot of connection between that message and today's message because often in the busyness and the running and the constant hurry, we fail to really pause and to celebrate life in the very present moment. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is definitely connected to that, the need to slow down. So if you've not been here the last couple of weeks, I encourage you to check out those messages. I know they are online. You can listen to those. The notes are there. But before we can really begin to build in disciplines into our life to help us grow in our relationship with Christ, one of the most important things is we have to be willing to step out of that busyness and step out of that hurried lifestyle intentionally, so that we can pursue silence and pursue solitude and pursue Christ with intentional habits that will help us grow in our relationship with Him. But, you know, to start today, I just want to start with a question. As we're talking about celebrating life or choosing joy, I debated on which title to give this morning's message, so I give it both. I think that's cheating. But you know, the idea of celebrating life or choosing joy, I want you to think of that word joy. But the question I have for you is, if you were to take a survey of the people in your life, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, those who see you in action, I want to ask you, what word would they use if they picked one word to describe you? What word would they use to describe you? Would joy even be an option of what they would consider? Is it possible they might use a word anxious, fearful, critical, hurried, busy, efficient? I mean, I'm just throwing out words here, but depending on how you live your life, your actions, your words, and how you live portrays something to those around you. And I just want to ask you, if as you think about that, if joy was nowhere on the list, I encourage you to really think this morning and ask, how can I really live a life that is more characterized by joy? And when we talk about spiritual disciplines through the series, there's a discipline that we don't talk a lot about. And honestly, it was a discipline I had never even heard of until recent years, was the discipline of celebration, of being intentional to look at all of life as something to celebrate and give thanks for. As we think today about this issue of joy, I just want to ask you, where if you had to rate yourself on a scale of how much joy you have in your life, what type of rating would you give yourself? Now, I have to say, this is one of the things I think sometimes can be confused about joy is personality types. Most of you that have known me for any length of time know bubbly is not a word that you would usually use to describe me. And so someone who is bubbly, they may often be labeled with joy a little bit more than someone that has more my temperament, kind of laid back. Joy is bigger than personality. Having a joy to celebrate life and celebrate all that Christ has done for us and approach life with joy is deeper than just that personality type. So if you're with me in that camp that we're never going to be described as bubbly, you can still pursue joy. You can still experience joy in life and celebrate life and all that Christ has done for us. As I referenced the last couple weeks, one of the books that I have found really helpful on some of the recent things we've talked about John Ortberg, The Life You've Always Wanted, he talks about a lot of the classic spiritual disciplines, but he does it in a way that I think really makes sense to most of us today in the things that we're facing. And he shares a story in the chapter where he's talking about celebration and the discipline of celebration that really hit me hard. I know the first time I heard it. And I'll share the story, and you can kind of understand how I would relate to this, and many of you might relate to it. But he told the story of when his three kids were younger, and it was bath time. And it was an evening that he was home, and so he was in charge of bath time, and he's getting the kids ready. And the youngest is finally out of the tub, and she, instead of coming over to let him dry her off, his youngest daughter, Mallory, is running around in circles, doing what in their family they called the Dee-Daw dance. And she was just running around in circles, screaming and just with joy and excitement, saying, "Dee-Daw Day, Dee-Daw Day," and just going around in circles. And he, in the meantime, is just trying to dry her off. And so he tells her, he says, "Mallory, hurry." And so she starts spinning faster and saying, "Dee-Daw Day," faster and faster. And he says, "No, that's not what I mean. Stop doing the Dee-Daw thing and come over here and let me dry you off. You need to hurry." And his little girl, Mallory, looks at him, just looks very honestly and says, "Why?" And John shares in that chapter, just, I remember reading it as if this was an account that I've experienced in my own life, where I didn't have any place to go, and he confessed this. He said, "I didn't have a meeting, I didn't have anywhere I had to go, but I was always," he said, "I found myself at this point in my life always preparing for the next thing. My mind was always on the next thing instead of in the present moment." And so he felt convicted. In that moment, he started to run around in circles with Mallory doing the Dee-Daw dance and realized that he was missing a moment with his daughter. You know, I am, as I've confessed the last couple weeks, as I talk about the discipline of slowing, how important that is for me because of my tendency and the way I'm wired. I tend to want to always be doing. And how important it is for us to take a step back to make sure that we are practicing Sabbath, that we are slowing down so that we're intentionally then pursuing our relationship with Christ, not only for change and transformation, but that change and transformation all flows out of intimacy with our Father. As we grow deeper in our relationship with Him, He begins to change us from the inside out. You know, the reality is that Scripture is clear that as a Christ follower, as a Christian, we are called to joy. John 15:11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, the context of that verse is focused on obedience, and that's a whole other message. And if we're really going to experience the joy of the Lord, we can't forget the importance of walking in obedience to what Christ tells us. But, you know, that statement is so clear that Jesus is making it clear that joy is supposed to represent our life. If we're following Him, if we're claiming to be a Christ follower, we're walking in obedience with Christ, that God has come to give us a joy, and that joy is to be full. Philippians 4:4, Paul includes these words, and what's interesting here is it's not just a, he doesn't just talk about the importance of joy, but it's a command. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Now, think about the implications of this, because the reality is we're not just told that Christians are to be joyful, but we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. You know, to start, as we think about how our lives might be better characterized by joy, I just want to give us a very short definition. This is my definition. It's not the end-all of definitions of joy. But, you know, as I reflect on the word and how it's used in the New Testament, joy is great happiness and pleasure that transcends circumstances and is grounded in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. You know, that first part, a lot of people in the world would recognize that. Yeah, joy is happiness. They'd equate joy and happiness together. But for the Christian, that joy, that peace and that pleasure and that happiness that comes into our heart and transcends the way that we live, it's different than the joy that the world gives us because it transcends the circumstances that we face. We might be facing challenges, we might be facing heartache, we might be facing pain, and yet when we experience the joy that God gives us, that joy transcends our circumstances. It's like the story, if you ever read the story of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." He could write those words in the midst of the hymn writer of "It Is Well With My Soul," could write those words following the death of his entire family. If you don't know the story, he had suffered a lot of significant losses. His business burned down, and while his family was traveling over the ocean, there was tragedy, and he lost his entire family. And later, as he was over the very spot where his family, they estimated, had drowned, he penned those classic words of the hymn, "It is well with my soul." Not celebrating the tragedy, but understanding that the joy that Christ had given him, the peace that Christ had given him, transcended the pain and the circumstances of life. Joy is something that is supposed to be flowing out of our lives as a Christ follower, that it's not dependent upon our circumstances, whether things are going good or things are going bad. But it's also, it is grounded in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We celebrate that fact that we can, and that's the idea of the hymn writer, is that he understood that it is well with my soul. Because who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me, even experiencing tragedy and experiencing great loss, he experienced that peace like a river in his soul. So today I just want us to think, if we can agree that as Christians we're to experience joy, that our life is to be characterized by joy, what steps can we take to experience a life? What steps can we take to experience a life characterized by joy? Now, I don't know if it's just me. We're in that season right now with radiant heat. It's getting warm. So if someone could either crack some windows or turn the air on, I know it seems counterproductive, but it was 77 degrees before we left last week. And if you think it's rough on you, it's rough up here too. So if someone could do that, I'd appreciate it. Because it's starting to get a little crazy. Okay, so what steps can we take? What steps can we take to experience a life that is characterized by joy? First thing we see in Scripture is that we have to make a choice to choose joy today. Psalm 118:24, this is part of our call to worship, says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this psalm, they believe it was a processional. They're entering into a time of worship. It's a holy day, a time of celebration. And yet that psalm, for Israel and for Christians for the last 2,000 years, has reminded us of the importance of approaching each day as a gift from God. And recognizing the importance of choosing joy. To choose this day that the Lord has made, to choose to rejoice and find gladness in it. You know, too often, when we talk about joy and finding our happiness, we fall into this trap of always either looking back or looking forward. And so, most likely, some of you would tend to do one or the other more often, but we can be guilty of both. When we think about our joy, I've known people over the years that always seemed a little miserable, and that any time when I talked to them about what was going on in their life, any sense of joy or any sense of happiness always had to do with something in their past. Something that was I remember when my kids were younger, how wonderful that time that was. Or I remember when I used to be a part of such and such church, and just it was a great season in my life. Or it's always looking back. What I think where we're most guilty of, though, at every stage of my life, I can find times in my life where I've been guilty of this, is that we try to find our joy in something that we're projecting forward. So going back in high school, couldn't wait to get to college. College would be just a great season. Now, I will tell you, that's one of the areas I look back to as well. It was a special time in my life. You know, we find ourselves, okay, we get to the next level, we graduate from high school, we graduate from college, or we get that job, or whatever it is, or we enter into a new relationship, or we get married, or we have children, whatever that future event is, we think that that's going to be like the magic pill that is going to bring joy into our life. And many of those things are great things and can bring joy and can bring at times a celebration of what we're experiencing in life. But if we only try to find joy in looking in the past and only try to find joy in looking in the future, we miss those present moments. Now, I've told a number of people that over the years that I've yet to experience a birthday that has bothered me. Maybe when I hit 50, it'll be a little worse, but if I get older, it's not a big deal. I have really struggled watching my kids get older. Because I see we're moving out of a season in our life, and where the kids, I'm not going to look where the kids are sitting, but can't look at Jana either because I'll lose it. But you know, I look back with, there are times in my life I look back with regret. And this is where I connect so well with what John Ortberg shared in that story. Because I know, as much as I've tried to be available to my family, as much as I've tried to be connected with my kids, I know that the call to ministry and the call to life combined with my personality type is I've missed moments. And you can't get those back. Sorry. I have thoughts about how much time I have with Bryce before we see him off to college, but not going to go there or I'll lose it. But, I'm not the only one here that has this struggle. That we get so caught up with the next thing that we miss the present moment. And God wants us, if we're going to be experience a life that's characterized by joy, we can't just be looking forward, we can't just be looking back, we have to be looking in the present to say, what in this moment can I celebrate? And how can I choose joy in this moment? Second step that I think, not only in making the choice of choosing this day, to rejoice, choosing joy this day. One of the things that I think this is so critical, is that we need to celebrate the simple gifts in life. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Look at that first phrase. Every good and perfect gift is from above. You know, that so often we miss those little moments, those special gifts, because we find ourselves caught up in this moment of thinking what we don't have instead of thinking what we have. And we get into this place of our culture, we're surrounded by this discontent. It's why so much money is spent in advertising. We're constantly being bombarded by being told that, well, if you just have such and such product, or if you have just such and such of an experience, that you'll find joy, that you'll find contentment, you'll be happy. And we can miss just the simple joys of life of sitting around the table with a friend or sitting around the table with a family member or celebrating the ability to go to work, celebrating the fact that there's food on the table and that we have shelter. So many things that we take for granted. We fail to take the time to just step back and recognize just how much we have to be thankful for. G.K. Chesterton, Ortberg shares a quote from him in his book where he talks about the way that kids demonstrate a trait that we as adults need to learn from. And think about those young kids, when your kids were younger or when you've been around kids when they're young, where they say that phrase, do it again. Or they may not say it, but that's their idea. Chesterton talked about how kids are wired that way. The simple pleasure, a simple joy, they want to do it again and again and again. Whereas we as adults, we're on to the next thing. And Chesterton actually even goes on to say that there's an aspect in which God himself demonstrates this do-it-again attitude of like, okay, the sun will rise again today. That every aspect of creation and life that we see as a routine is just God every day saying, let's do it again. And experiencing that joy. You know, I think of when my kids were young, they would often, if we had a game that they liked, it was like, let's play it again. Or same story. Most of my kids went through seasons where they had one book that seemed like every night we were reading the same book. Or I went through a season where I was making up stories and telling Bryce, invented a character named Chihuahua that I would every night, I only had two stories, I think. And every night Bryce would choose one of those two stories. And I would just, and again, it was the same story, but as a child, he wanted to experience it again because there was a simple joy in that moment of doing something that is pleasurable, something that that is joy-giving, to do it again and again and again. We have to break out of our routine and understand the simple power of just finding and celebrating the simple gifts in our life. Ortberg shares this. He says, when we celebrate, we exercise our ability to see and feel goodness in the simplest gifts of God. We're able to take delight today in something that we wouldn't have even noticed yesterday. Did you catch that? When we're intentional with this, we're able to take delight today in something that we wouldn't have even noticed yesterday. Our capacity for joy increases. The more we train ourselves to celebrate the simple things in life, the more our eyes and our ears become attuned to find those moments to celebrate. We see this in Nehemiah 8:10. And this is a powerful verse, but this is following the return of the exiles to Israel. And the people have returned from exile, and Ezra has now read from the book of the law, and the people, there's this sense of remorse and grief, even in the midst of coming back home to Israel, there's a sense of remorse for their sin. And in these words, Nehemiah 8:10, it says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a lot here. I almost debated on just landing on this verse today. But, you know, that idea of eating fat and drinking the sweet wine, it's a party. It's a time to celebrate. And they're being challenged on this holy day. They're being challenged to celebrate. As Christians, we should be celebrating every day based on what Christ has done for us. We see the call to send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, and that the idea of provision. But in that statement of do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, this is where you have to look at the context of this verse and what is happening. The people are experiencing remorse and regret for their sin. But in the moment of that, they understand and they see God's salvation. They see God's provision. The people that have been in exile have been returned. And that's the picture that every believer, when we come to faith in Christ, we understand that our sin separates us from God. Our sin brings guilt and condemnation. But when we enter into relationship with Christ, that we are delivered from that guilt. We find forgiveness. We find new life. And we can celebrate the life that Christ gives us. God provides for us, and we can celebrate who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. You know, one of the writers that I read was talking about the importance of holy days. And you read through the Old Testament, that it seemed like there were constantly, the people were being told to have a festival, a celebration. And they would often have times where, like the Passover, where they'd be remembering God's provision in a very specific way. But if you really look at the Old Testament and all the festivals that God commanded Israel to experience, there was an intentionality of celebration, celebrating who God is and what God had done for them as a people. The commentators go on, though, to say that, you know, when Jesus, if you remember the story in Luke 4:18-19, where Jesus opens up the scriptures and reads and then makes a bold declaration that this day, this prophecy is being fulfilled in your midst. They talk about the fact that when Jesus began his ministry, he proclaimed what was known as the year of Jubilee. And the idea of Jubilee was every 50 years in Israel's history, debts would be canceled. Someone who was a slave or a prisoner of war would be set free. And that idea of Jubilee is something that we see throughout the scriptures was a picture of the deliverance and celebration of what God does for us in the new freedom that we have in him. This is the idea that these commentaries are saying that Jesus, when he read these words in Luke, that's recorded in Luke 4, 18 through 19, he was announcing the year of Jubilee, a time of celebration for all that God was going to do through Christ. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We have to look at our life and understand that, like Israel, intentionally set up these days to remember and to celebrate God. We have to be intentional to look at all of life as something to celebrate, a gift from God's hand. As the simplest of gifts, we should be giving praise to God for and celebrating God for those gifts. So when we think about what steps we can take to experience a life characterized by joy, we can choose joy today. We can celebrate the simple gifts, but we also need to remember what Christ has done for us and what he has secured for us. Remembering what Christ has done for us, and remember the account where in Luke 10, Jesus sends out, he sent out the 12 in Luke 9, and Luke 10, he sends out the 72 disciples, and they come back and they are pumped. These disciples are just so excited because, of all the things that God was doing through them. And some of the things that Jesus did, they actually were able to do too. And they come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, even the demons were subject to us in your name." I mean, they're excited. This is a point of celebration, a point of excitement. And Jesus says in Luke 10:20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus is pointing to that truth that when we enter into a relationship with Christ and we know that our eternity is secure, that's not just an issue of peace, but that is something to celebrate. That is something that should transcend whatever circumstances we're facing, because we know that we are in a relationship with Christ, that our eternity is secure, not based on what we have done, but we have put our faith and trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Whatever you might be facing, when we think of who Christ is and what he has done for us, we have reasons to celebrate and to have joy. We see this in Revelation 19:7 as well, describing that future that we look forward to, where Christ returns for his church and there's a new kingdom and a new earth established. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." As Christians, we stand between two very critical events. We celebrate Christ's death and his resurrection, but we also look forward to that day that Christ returns for us. And that picture of the marriage, that's what we see throughout the New Testament describing our relationship as Christ followers to God, is described as a marriage relationship. And that we wait for Christ to return as a bride would be waiting for a groom. We live in between these two events of celebrating Christ and his death and resurrection and celebrating and looking forward to that day of Christ's return. Our life should be characterized by joy. That transcends any circumstances that we face. And then when we understand that, we understand that choosing joy, making the choice to choose joy, is not an exercise in positive thinking. For a Christian, it's more than just an exercise on positive thinking, putting in our motivational tapes to listen to. Our joy rests in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and the fact that Jesus is returning again. Our choosing joy is not just wishful thinking. Our joy rests in what Christ has done for us and what he has secured for us. So to end today, I just want to remind you of what we've looked at so far. Three things. If we want to really let joy characterize our life, we need to make the choice daily. Choose joy today. We need to start celebrating the simple gifts in our life. But beyond anything, we need to remember Christ and what he has done for us and what he has secured for us when we put our faith and our trust in him. But before we close, I just want to give you some practical steps in doing that. Before I pray and invite the worship team to come, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We've talked about the importance of making that choice, making the choice. And so the first practical step is begin today. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your heart, to make the choice to say, today, I'm going to pursue joy. Two things that are related to this, if you're struggling with this, two things that are related that are another whole series of messages, are choosing contentment and choosing thankfulness. But we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to begin today to pursue joy? We need to spend time with joy givers. Different terms out there. Joy givers, joy takers. Yeah, every one of us probably leans into one of those two places, and every one of us can probably identify people that when we're around them, we feel lifted up, we feel encouraged. That's the joy giver. We've experienced the opposite too. Those moments that anytime we're around someone, it's like the life is being sucked out of us. The joy taker. Now, before you think about the people in your life and whether they're joy givers and joy takers, statistically, you are falling into one of those two categories as well. So you need to be humble about this. You need to ask yourself, am I a joy giver or am I a joy taker? But if you're really trying to develop joy, wherever you're at in that spectrum, you need to be intentional to spend time with people that speak joy into your life. People that when you're around them, that you actually enjoy life and you're celebrating life and that you know that there's so much more than what you've been facing. We need to schedule a DDA day. This is directly from John Ortberg. Plan days where you pursue the things that bring you joy, that make you happy, all within the realms of what God presents in Scripture. But, you know, think about that every day. Is there something you do every day that brings you joy? Is there a day of your week that you really focus on? I mean, this can be as simple as eating what you like to eat, pursuing a hobby that you find refueling, spending time with that joy giver. Do something. Have intentional times in your life that you're scheduling those things that bring you joy. Along with that is unplug. This is a habit for every one of the messages last 2 weeks ago and today. We need to disconnect. We need to unplug. Because often the things that we're filling our lives with, whether it's TV or social media, it's filling and it's more numbing us than recreating us. And we have to look at our life and ask ourselves, are we really pursuing those things that refresh us, that really give us strength? And probably the most important thing, if you really want to pursue joy, is start a gratitude list. If you think your life is at a point that joy really can't permeate your life in this moment, I challenge you to take time today to look at your life and say, what do I have to be thankful for? Write it down and thank God for those gifts. Thank God for those blessings and let that gratitude transform your heart from a place of discontentment to contentment to joy. Our joy rests in what Christ has done. Our joy rests in what Christ has done for us and what he has secured for us. But we have to choose to walk in that joy. And I encourage you today to take some of those steps to pursue joy in this coming week. Will you pray with me as the worship team comes? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for who you are and all that you have done for us. Lord, I just pray that today that we would be intentional to look at our lives and to see so much in our lives that we have to be thankful for. Lord, I know I'm not alone in being in those seasons in our life where we're always looking at the next thing and that we're maybe missing those present moments where we need to be present. We need to be present with our loved ones, present with our coworkers, present with our friends, present in that moment to not only fulfill what you would want us to do in that moment, but to celebrate that moment and what you have for us. Lord, help us to look for those moments to thank you and to find peace and find contentment in you. Lord, may our lives, whatever word we use to describe ourselves at the beginning of this message, Lord, I pray that in the coming days that joy would move further and further up that list. That our lives would be characterized by the joy that only you can give, a joy that transcends any circumstances, and a joy that is built upon the foundation of Christ and what he has done for us. Lord, help us to live lives, Lord, that reflect your joy. And may we celebrate life in such a way, Lord, that people are drawn to you through the way that we live. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.